We have so many stories in our lives, but our stories are not always heard. On the Hear My True Story podcast, we tell our own true stories.
Before the white car backed, our head teacher had scattered. Looking at him, I could only see his tie that was flying backwards, waving at us, and he disappeared in thin air.
I want to share my life story. I want to share my voice with the people because I know that just a small joke I can tell through this podcast, it will make someone smile.
When you ask me what I fear most in life, I would definitely respond to you and say it's fear itself.
We are fighting for togetherness. We are fighting for equal rights. We are fighting to end injustice.
You don't have to be a storyteller or writer because, guess what? Life writes the best stories.
Hear my true story.
So on 29th of May, 2023, the Speaker of Parliament communicated publicly that the President, Yoweri Museveni, had signed the Anti-Homosexuality Bill 2023 into law.
Yeah, it's really difficult right now for the people living in Uganda, for the community, the queer community in Uganda. And then, because when I don't know whether I understood this law very well, but they say if you or maybe any person is arrested, that means that they are penalized to death or to 20 years.
Yes, exactly. You got it right. Even the people who give us housing, like our relatives or landlords, if they find them giving us shelter or housing, they will imprison them for 20 years. And so that has led to a lot of homelessness for the LGBTQ people because they are being thrown out of houses by their landlords and relatives.
So my dear listeners, the episode you are to listen to is a repost of an old episode that did well in the year 2023. And because we are preparing in the month of January to bring new content on Hear My True Story podcast, we decided to share this wonderful episode that did well in the year 2023. This particular episode was part of the top episodes on this podcast. Many listeners liked it. Many listeners gave us feedback. Many listeners commented on this wonderful podcast. And for that reason, I hope that you enjoy this wonderful episode in this month of January as we make an experience of our best episodes that did well in the year 2023. Happy New Year, and I hope you enjoy this wonderful episode.
This is your favorite time of the week with your number one podcast.
Hear my true story.
Yo, our dear listeners, welcome back again this wonderful week. It is me, your host, Otako, and I'm so excited this week. We have a special podcast where we are going to be talking about special issues, issues that matter in our community, issues that matter in our society. Before I start the conversation, I'd like to say I'm happy and delighted to have a wonderful activist from Uganda, Kampala, who's going to share about his story, their story, and what they are doing in Uganda.
This week's special guest on your favorite podcast.
Hear my true story.
I would like to ask you, my wonderful guest, to maybe introduce yourself so that the people get to know who is behind this wonderful conversation or this microphone, who is behind the computer, so the audience gets to understand who are they listening to. You are welcome.
Thank you so much, Otako. I'm called Jay Mulucha. I'm the executive director of Femme Alliance Uganda. It's an LGBTQ organization, and it was founded in 2012. And I'm an activist and a trans man. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. So, Jay, I would just want to ask you, my pronoun is he, him, but I would just like to know, what is your pronoun so that I'm able to mention the right pronoun when we are having the conversation with you?
As I said in my introduction, I'm a trans man and I prefer he, him.
Thank you.
So that's my pronoun. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah. You know, I am learning a lot of things through my activism, but also through working with people. The first thing I learned when I started working with the queer community in Uganda is about pronouns. That was in 2012 when I was part of a show that was telling stories of the queer community in Uganda. But that's not the issue today. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As we start, I'd like you to maybe tell us about your personal journey. I mean, and what led you into this work of activism, more special for the LGBTQ people in Uganda?
Okay, thank you very much for that question. My journey since childhood, I've been a very obedient person, very calm and very easy. As I was growing up, of course, I didn't know that I was a trans person because I had not yet realized. But when I entered my high school, that is when I got to understand about the LGBT community. Because in high school, they were talking about lesbians and gays, and I wouldn't differentiate between a lesbian, a gay, a bisexual, trans, intersex, or queer person. So then when I was in school, I started identifying as a lesbian, because that's the only thing that was there and then. I didn't know anything else. I realized that I was a lesbian in high school because I was attracted to same-sex people. So the fact that it wasn't allowed in school, they kept on expelling me because of having relationships with my fellow students, and the habit wasn't accepted. The fact that it was they call it a bad thing in our culture and religion. I was always punished and so on until I finished. The good thing, I managed to complete my high school. And during my vacation, that is when I got introduced by a friend to an LGBT organization where I got some work. Then I started working there. I slowly started knowing who a lesbian is, a gay person is, a bisexual is, an intersex, a queer, and a trans. So as I went on learning, I realized that I am not a lesbian. I am a transgender person. That is how I learned through working for an organization where I went on learning these different identities. That is how I got to know that I was a trans person. And then through my working in that organization, I realized that there was the community was big and the services weren't reaching, especially the rural people, and the community wasn't getting enough. So I got a vision of coming up with an organization, which is Femme Alliance Uganda, to make sure that we co-coordinate or work with other organizations that are available at that time to see that we support our community and reach everywhere in Uganda. Mm. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for that wonderful information that you shared about your journey. You talked about a Femme Alliance Uganda. Could you maybe provide some insights into that, the work of Femme Alliance Uganda and the initiatives you undertake as an organization?
The work of Femme Alliance, Femme Alliance, as I said, it started in 2012, and we do advocacy, we do sensitization, we do economic empowerment for our communities. We have done different outreaches around the country, especially in the rural areas. We have a psychosocial support center for mental wellness, especially like at this time of this situation of passing the bill. Most of the people in the community are facing challenges of mental instabilities. So our psychosocial center is being used and it's supporting a lot of people in that area. We have a drop-in center, which offers health services, e.g. HIV testing and counseling, and different consumables like condoms and lubricants to protect ourselves from HIV. We also provide sanitary towels and other SRHR services, and most of the services that fall under that. And we also do referrals when especially the cases are so strong for us, and also when it comes to legal, because we don't have lawyers, so we do referrals to our friendly partners who offer such services.
Okay. I mean, you talked about you working in the communities, going down to the rural communities, to Ugandan-based communities where your community people are, where people who identify with the community are. The point is this, how is the organization received by the community? How are you able even to implement some of these activities in an environment like Uganda, where your penalty would be 20 years if you are arrested as an organization, or to death? How do you deal with that?
Of course, there are many challenges. The community doesn't accept us so easily because in Uganda, actually, Uganda is regarded as the most homophobic country in the world. And with this law, it has really, really, really made it hard for our community. So the way the community, the general community receives us and takes us is not a good way, but we try our best to see that we reach our members. I'll give an example. Like if we go for outreaches, like especially in the rural areas, we meet some people, and those people that, like we have members, the members introduce us to their friends and the circle continues. Mm. So through friends, we get to get other members in the organization and reach them. Though the community doesn't welcome us, of course, we can't go public, but the services that we offer are offered in such a way, like through connections.
Okay. It's through the word of mouth, yeah, from one person to another. Yeah.
Yes.
You mentioned about the law. Of course, personally, I know the law. I've read about it, what it is, what law was passed by the Ugandan government. And you also know the law. But I would just like to ask you, could you maybe simply give an insight, like overview of this law for a person who is not a Ugandan, for a person who is not maybe in Africa, or for a person who is maybe in Europe and would like to understand what this law really means for a person who is in the queer community or who's in the LGBTQ community in Uganda? Because some people don't know what law was passed.
Okay. This bill has been in parliament since early May. And actually not early May, around February, it was tabled and they started discussing about the anti-homosexuality bill. Initially in 2014, I can go back a little bit, in 2014, this anti-homosexuality bill was tabled and passed into law, but again, the community and the partners challenged it in court and it was annulled. So this is the second time this law is being tabled and passed. The first time it was annulled because it was challenged. So this is the second time it has been tabled. So on 29th of May, 2023, the Speaker of Parliament communicated publicly that the President Yoweri Museveni had signed the Anti-Homosexuality Bill 2023 into law. This bill, by virtue of the president's signature, the bill became an act of parliament under Article number 9(1)(b). This law is so harsh, and it has harsh, very, 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 very harsh penalties. It is a bad law because it's affecting the community in many ways. This law has been a big, big challenge and a problem to the LGBT community. There is a lot of stigma and discrimination because this has been and is now on the increase. When it comes to the LGBT community persons, there are families who have abandoned their own. They have thrown us out and disowned us due to our sexuality. This has led to lack of education because no one can pay for us school fees, for the LGBT people school fees, hence drop out of schools because of lack of education. So there is, and no one can hire you, especially if you're not educated. There is also lack of housing because families have disowned us. And there is actually, in this law, there is actually people we are told not to give housing to the LGBT community. Some schools have expelled us, and due to our sexuality, there is lack of employment because of our sexuality. Some people will not employ us because of who we are, and the law is really harsh. There is this norm of culture and religious norms that have created a lot of hate to the LGBT community, and this has led to a lot of hate crimes. We are always attacked and beaten, arrested and detained in cells, and such hate has also led to be denied services the health services. There is a lot of discrimination when it comes to accessing health services, which has led to some people to self-medicate themselves or not adhere to their medication, like especially those ones that are on antiretroviral treatment. This has led to many deaths, and this is a very, very big, big problem. There is clear and unequivocal data that the criminalization of marginalized communities makes HIV prevention, testing, and treatment more difficult. Mm-hmm. HIV is a disease which thrives in situation of stigma and prejudice, where people at risk of the virus are too afraid to access health services. Because if we look at this law when it was passed, there are some big people in government that came out and uttered publicly that health services are not supposed, like there is a deputy commander, Land Forces, Major General Francis, who came out and publicly ordered health workers to stop treating homosexuals in public health facilities, which infringes on our rights. It's not right. So we have been denied a lot of services, and we are living in fear at the moment. People are so scared about the whole situation that is happening.
Yeah, it's really difficult right now for the people living in Uganda, for the community, the queer community in Uganda. And then because when I don't know whether I understood this law very well, but they say if you or maybe any person is arrested, that means that they are penalized to death or to 20 years.
Yes, exactly. You got it right. Even the people who give us housing, like our relatives or landlords, if they find them giving us shelter or housing, they will imprison them for 20 years. So that has led to a lot of homelessness for the LGBTQ people, because they are being thrown out of houses by their landlords and relatives.
I get that. Many people are going to become victims of this law.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they are there for their family members, they are supporting their family members, regardless of what they are.
And the worst thing is that even when it comes to health service provision, most of us can't go to access the services because we fear if we go to access the services and they get to know who we are, we shall be reported to the authorities and we shall be arrested. That is leading to a lot of self-medication. You know, someone can treat what they don't know, and that will lead to a lot of dangerous things. And some people can't go to do refills for their medication. They can't adhere to the treatment, especially those ones who are living with HIV. So it's really a bad situation for us.
And now, just for the listeners to get to know, you are an activist in Uganda. You are working right now in Uganda. You have not got asylum anywhere, and you are still continuing your work of activism. How are you dealing with this right now, when after passing a law where you would be 20 years because you're promoting homosexuality according to the law, either death because you are a queer person? That's the point. So where do you stand, you as a person? How do you deal with this? Yes.
First of all, I personally, of course, I'm scared about the whole situation. And what I can say is that most of the people are leaving the country. They are fleeing to some neighboring countries, of which it's also not safe. But the fact that I've been here for more than 10 years doing activism and standing with my community, and we have realized that there is some change that we have done in the community. That it's only that keeps me moving. I feel like I shouldn't leave my community behind and go seek asylum somewhere, because this is who we are and nothing is going to change. This is who we are, because even if I leave, there are still others that are going to be born like me. So if we just run away, shall we continue all of us running away? We just have to be brave and stand strong and continue the advocacy and sensitization to let people know that we exist, to let people know that we are human beings like others. We have the same blood like theirs. We need the same services like theirs. We are not dangerous to the community, as they say.
Yeah.
And we are Ugandans. So, I mean, I feel like I have to stand for my rights, to be strong and stand for my rights.
Yeah. I mean, you are at a point where you are not scared of losing your life, because it's difficult right now. Even a community person can take your life out. They can use mob justice and then they take your life. How do you deal with this, with the community that you live in? How do you deal with them?
Of course, we just have to be careful with everything that we do, all our movements. Like I told you right now, most of us are indoors. We are scared. We are not moving out. And the good thing is that part of the LGBT community and the partners have petitioned in court. They have petitioned the law. They are challenging the law in court, and the hearings will be communicated very soon. And we are so positive that it will be annulled. That also gives us sometimes strength to continue doing our work. Of course, the environment is not safe at the moment, and we try to avoid public spaces. We try to stay away from the general public, to avoid the insecurities that are going on. But still, of course, some of our community members who try to hide and so on, some of them are being reported by their neighbors, by their families, and arrests are happening, violations are happening. You know, just know it's a lot, but we are trying and we are standing strong. That's why we need support of the whole world.
Enjoying this episode? Leave a review now.
Hear my true story.
Yeah, and that then you talked about support. Then let me just bring in this question of support. I mean, how can listeners support your organization? and contribute to the cause of LGBT rights, LGBTQ rights in Uganda? How can they support you?
Okay, listeners can support Femme Alliance or the LGBT community by, first of all, standing with us in solidarity and speaking out to different people to make to different people or to the government of Uganda to make sure that this law is put down and annulled. And then another thing, our listeners can give us some donations, some funding. We have an office that is still operating, though it's operating slowly, like we are not out there in the public, but we are operating and serving the community. And during these trying times and to serve better, we need some funds, donations to do our work better. Because still, even if this is happening, the community still needs the services. So this can be financially and any money, even if it's one penny or a dollar or I don't know how they call German money.
It's euros, of course, but the European Union.
Euros.
Yeah.
Okay. So even if it's one, it can always make a change for us in all ways. We have a lot that we are doing and a lot of projects that we are planning, but we sometimes don't have any funding. We have a psychosocial center right now that is operating and giving services to the LGBT community, but of course we are in sort of short of psychologists and counselors who need some financial support. We also need some electronics or like computers, like phones, and these don't have to be new things. Even used things can work for us. So if there is any donation of that kind, it is always welcome. And we are also trying to set up a GoFundMe, but we haven't yet. But in case we do, maybe I can go through you and share it out. And also, in case of any support, they can always reach me out on my email address. Is it okay if I can read it here?
Yes, of course you can read the email address, but also I'm going to put the email address in the description of this podcast episode.
Okay.
So that people get to you. All your contacts are going to be on this episode. So our dear listeners, after listening to the episode, look into the description of the episode and find the contacts so that you can get in touch with Jay. Have I said the name very well?
Yes. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Get in touch with Jay and then you support their cause and also join the solidarity to fight for the rights of the LGBTQ people in Uganda. It's really not easy to do activism in Uganda at the same time when you're being targeted by not just the government, but also the community you are living in. If you are listening to this and you'd like to support the LGBTQ people in Uganda, please get in touch with Jay. The contacts.
They can also get in touch with you as well, because you can reach me.
Yes, and also you can send me an email on this for my podcast. The email is also on the description. Those who know me, Otako, and you're living in Europe, you're living in Germany, it's an organization that works with the queer community in Germany, and they can imagine supporting a community from Uganda. Please support us by just reaching to me or to Jay, and we support their cause in Uganda.
Yeah, especially we need support for the shelter. We have now a lot of numbers that are coming in for shelter because people are being thrown out, as I told you, by their families and their landlords, and they have nowhere to stay. So we are operating a shelter, a small shelter, and we need a lot of support that includes food, medication, and all that. So we shall be grateful for any support that comes in.
Yeah, thank you so much for raising that information for the listeners who are listening right now. So you talked about like FEMA Alliance Uganda, that's your organization, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, what are the long term goals? I mean, what do you see? What do you see the community? I mean, is there hope for things to change?
Okay. First of all, my long term goal as an individual is to see a stigma free Uganda where LGBTQI persons enjoy their rights like others. Like other people in Uganda, they are enjoying their rights with no one touching them or doing anything to them. So my dream is to see that even the LGBTQ people in Uganda enjoy their rights in that way. And also to see that the arrests, the violations, the denial to services, to access to services is no longer there. So I know this is going to be achieved by continuing to work hard and never to give up. We need to join hands, and this will be achieved. Joining hands together with other organizations, partners around the world, and all well-wishers who support us to see that we reach our main goal. So I encourage all the partners and all the well-wishers to join us in this struggle and support us to achieve our goals. I know we shall achieve our goals one day because I can tell you, Otako, the time when I entered this community, there was no one even accepted to mention the word gay or lesbian. It was an abomination. But the advocacy that we have done as different LGBT organizations in Uganda, as activists, as human rights defenders in Uganda, we have made sure that people get to know about us. The fact that we are being discussed in Uganda right now, whether in a bad way or good way, we are now being known, like they are hearing our voices. I know one day we shall make it, because even the countries we admire, the countries that are a little better, they started like us and they never gave up. And that's why at least they don't have these bad laws. Like the European countries, US, UK. I know it's not 100% good, but where they are better. They don't have these draconian laws. So I believe that one day, one time, if we don't give up and if we join hands and keep on moving and get support from around the world, one day, one time, we shall be better and we shall be accepted and our rights will be respected.
These are really positive words that you have used, that there is hope. So if you are, for my listener, maybe there is someone listening from Uganda and is in the gay community or maybe is in the queer community, what would be your words for that person right now who is in the community? And maybe also there's that other person who wants to support the community but they are scared. What would be your words to them?
First of all, I would like to encourage my fellow community members. I know the situation that we are living in at this time is so bad, but let's be calm, let's be hopeful, let's be strong and stand there for each other. Let us check on each other. Let us be ready to face anything that comes in a strong way. And I know one day we shall be strong. Just be careful. Wherever you move, wherever you go, whoever you discuss with, because they have even started targeting us on our social media and our phones. They are trying to track us down, but we just need to be extra careful and keep ourselves safe so that we continue fighting for our rights as LGBTQ community. And those people who want to support us and they fear, please don't fear. We need your support. We seriously need your support at this moment. You can go through Otako. You can get my contacts and you give us the support because we really need it right now. A lot of attacks, a lot of arrests are happening. We are not getting services that we need, especially health services. The only way we can get these services is by having money and using public hospitals that charge us, or restocking our DICs, drop-in centers, to make sure they offer better medication. So we urge anyone who would like to support us in this trying moment to come. Please don't fear. Come and join us so that we can also live. And my community members, we need to stand strong. No one is going to erase the LGBT community in Uganda, because that's what they are trying to do. They are trying to erase the LGBT community in Uganda, but we shall stand strong and be ready to face them.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for those supportive words. Because of time, I just want to say the last question to you. You talked about advocacy. Which platforms do you use to raise your advocacy right now for the community? Or someone who is like in the community of the LGBTQ in Uganda, how can they get the information and get the right support, guidance on how getting the health services from your organization?
Right now, we are being targeted in all ways. That's why actually the website of Fem Alliance is down at the moment, because they have tried to track us down. But our Facebook page is still on. It's running. It's Fem-Alliance-Uganda. You can go check our work out there. And in case we need to reach our communities, we are using the security communications that we are using. And we have a group where we put our members, all the community members, where we do our communications safely, and it reaches different community members. Though, of course, we have had some information leaking out from our groups, but still it's the only safest way we can do the communication. We have malls, of course, in the community, but that doesn't stop us from doing our work.
Yeah. I'll do some research and find which platforms that people can use that are data protected, and maybe I can share with you, and you get to connect your community very well. But for anyone listening to this,
we have WhatsApp, we have Signal. Yeah, those are the main two Telegram that we are using. And we know that Facebook is not safe, Messenger, it's not safe. But in case you want us to give you the safest way, you can reach us through Messenger, and then we get each other's contacts and we give you the safest way to communicate.
Okay. Do you have Telegram too? Because I hear the Telegram also is a good mobilization.
Yes, Telegram is also good. But me at the moment, I don't have Telegram. I have Signal.
Okay. Yeah. Then that's good. And also for someone listening to this wonderful episode, please, and you have maybe in Uganda in the community, you can reach Jay or you can reach me. I can also find ways of you reaching Jay in a very protective way, possibly. And for our listeners who are not in Uganda, as Jess said, your support is welcome in any way, emotional, financial, with gadgets, everything that you provide, any penny that you support with them is really supportive. In that way, I want to say, do you have a way of you receiving support in financial way as an organization right now, or are your bank accounts also closed? Are they still open or are they closed by the state? Because I know Uganda can close accounts of organizations.
Right now, we are so lucky that our accounts are not yet frozen or closed. Our bank accounts are still active. And in case of any financial support, I can still pass you the bank account. And you share it with people if they want to deposit in the bank account.
You said they can.
Even World Remit can work.
Okay. Maybe you can send me also the bank details. I can also put them in the description. Then people can also send money to you as support in case it is okay with you. I can put them in the description of the episode.
Okay, please.
Yeah. Thank you for giving us that right information. So, my dear listeners, support is really welcome for us. And that brings me to another question. Maybe there's someone who would like to support you guys by giving you a platform to speak or to tell your stories. Maybe someone who's having a platform, for example, giving lectures, giving talks. Is that still possible with the organization? And if it is possible, how can they organize for you such things?
Yeah, thank you so much. That is very possible. They can always reach us. They can contact us through our emails, phone numbers, and they tell us exactly what they want us to do. And we can always give the talks or lectures. It's just about agreeing about the time, the date, and then we are available. They can always contact us and reach us in all ways.
Okay, so thank you for that. Thank you for that. Yeah. I mean, you talked about already how it is hard for the people living in Uganda, the community, the LGBTQ people in Uganda, but I still ask, right now, the story is so much that, is there a change before the law was signed and after now when signed? Is there a difference in the cases that have been reported to your organization, perhaps? Because I know people take advantage of this.
Yes, there is a difference because initially, before the law was passed, no one was minding about it. And as I can tell you, this law sometimes is political. Whenever the government or politicians want to do something, they always use the LGBTQ community as a scapegoat. And this really affects us a lot. So there is a lot that is happening. So there are many, many.
Sorry. Please go on. Sorry.
Yeah, there are many, many challenges that we are facing. The government uses us as a scapegoat and we end up suffering in different ways.
Sorry. It's really annoying because I know Uganda, they tend, every time there's a political wave coming, they use the LGBTQ community and then they use it to really attack or to attract funding from with the West.
So there is a lot of difference because initially people used not to talk about it so much. Yes, it was there, but the moment it was brought into parliament, tabled into parliament, the hate speeches, the hate crimes, the arrests, the torture, the violations, they all started. And until now, when it has been passed now, people think that they have a right to do anything to the LGBT people. So that's how bad it is. People are losing their jobs. The people who had their small businesses to help them sustain themselves financially, right now they can't work because of fear of being arrested. And some of them, their businesses were destroyed because they got to know who they are and they destroyed their businesses. So they don't have any income at the moment. There is a lot of lack of jobs. Some of the people who were employed no longer have jobs. Once your boss gets to know that you're in the LGBT community, they chase you away. We have lacked access to services. People fear to access services, as I told you. People have been thrown out of houses. Their families have they have disowned them. A lot is happening. So there is a difference before and then. Though even before, there was, of course, some hate that was there. But the passing of the law has increased and made it worse.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about hate speech, because I understand Ugandan languages, I see a lot of hate speech online, on Facebook, against the LGBTQ community. And maybe people who don't understand Ugandan languages, they may not understand it, but the hate speech is really high in Uganda. It's something that is being used.
Of course, the derogatory words that they use, those bisiyaga, bavuziba, mpanga, what, all that, very, very bad hate speech.
Yeah, this is really a bad environment, and I really feel so sad for everyone who's living through this. I hope, just like you said, hope is what we need for the situation to be better. We have to continue fighting, just like the way you are continuing.
Yes.
And I really respect you for that, and I really thank you for that. Continue doing that, because someone else would have just packed their bags and found ways of leaving the country.
Mm, thank you so much.
I thank you for that. You're really doing a good job, and I'm lucky to have met you. And also to get to know you is really a pleasure. So before we end...
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I would like to ask you, do you have last words? Do you have anything you want to talk about that maybe we didn't talk about in our conversation?
Maybe it's... We have, of course, talked about it. I just want to urge our partners, our friends, our well-wishers around the world, those in German, please come and stand with us in this trying moment. We really, really, really need you. Please come and join us to see that you support us in all ways that can make us stay safe and put down this law. So I am urging partners, civil society organizations, friends, and all the well-wishers to come and join us and in this struggle. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that wonderful call. And also I would like to add on the same call, our dear listeners, if you listen to this wonderful podcast, Hear My True Story, here we share our personal stories, experiences, activism, based on real life experiences. So please, if you know an organization that can support the LGBTQ community in Uganda, you can let us know. You can have us get in touch with them. Whatever support, networking is also a big support for us to get to know other people that are doing the same work that we are doing. If you know any of them, let us know. Let us get them in touch with Jay and his organization so they can support the community. Not everyone can be able to leave Uganda, which we don't think it is the solution. The solution is to fight by telling our stories. If you have a space where you wish to offer us to tell our own stories, let us know. We can also have them get in touch with Jay and they share their own stories. Thank you so much, my dear listeners. It has been me, Otako, and Jay, our guest. Please, Jay, anytime, let me know. I can always have you on the podcast. You can share your information here. I know it's not easy. You guys, you can't receive any space in Ugandan media. No one can invite you to speak. I can only just invite you with my podcast. We have not a very big listenership, but we have a listenership that matters. That's the thing.
Thank you so much, Otako. I'm so grateful for your invitation and for giving me this opportunity to talk to the world, to talk to different people. Thank you so much for the willingness. There are very few people who can give platforms to us at the moment, but I'm grateful that you have done that. I hope everything goes on well. Thank you so much.
Thank you too. Yeah, how dear listener, thank you so much for listening to this wonderful conversation. Yeah, and I hope to hear from you next week, same time. And we hope that you have enjoyed this wonderful conversation. And in case you would like to support, please go into the description, find the contacts of Jay and the organization, and you can support them. It has been me, Otako, and I would like to say bye for now.
We not only have voices for a podcast, but also faces for YouTube. Don't miss your next episode. Hear my true story.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, music by Edwin Matovo, hosted and produced by Otako. Subscribe to our podcast for more stories and visit us on our website, hearmytruestory.com, for more stories. All the links are listed in the show notes of this podcast.